another special podcast right here on Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zaglul, and on today's show, sit tight because lots of baseball talk is coming as we welcome on an MLB insider who has the scoop on the Cubs, Sox, and national MLB headlines. So this should be a fun time today, obviously lots to talk about, and I'm so glad that you're here joining us. Before we get started today, make sure to follow us on Twitter at ChiTalkSports and hit me up personally on Instagram at JohnZags, Twitter at JohnZSports, and LinkedIn at JohnZaglul. Today's show is brought to you by Moochie World, where inspiration meets creation. Call 708-247-2100 to book parties, paint your own pottery, and have art projects for adults and children. Moochie World, creativity at its finest. And by the Windy City Thunderbolts. Celebrate the team's 20th anniversary season by purchasing tickets right now. Call 708-489-2255 for your chance to be a part of history this summer in Crestwood. It's now time for our special guest. He began his sports journalism career in 1986, covering Major League Baseball, and for the 13 years following, served as a columnist and reporter for the Kansas City Star, Los Angeles Times, The Sporting News, and MSNBC. In 1998, he became a senior MLB columnist for USA Today, a position that he still holds to this day. He's also the BBWAA Arizona Chapter Chairman and an MLB Network insider. Please welcome Bob Nightingale to the show. Bob, how are you doing today? Thank you for being here on the show.
Sure, my pleasure. Thank you.
Well, to start today, Bob, let's take a look at the Cubs and their winning ways as of late. And it's interesting because they started the season 2-6. Many were sounding the alarms. Lots of people jumped to conclusions, thought Joe Maddon should get fired early and a plethora of roster moves should follow. But now the Cubs sit in first place and they've won 21 of their last 27. What's changed for the Northsiders in this period of time?
You know, I think just one of those things, just a team gets to a slow start, people panic. But it's the same team. I mean, the key is they never panic. A little bit like the Houston Astros, you know, they lost 5 of the first 7. You know, they're the best team in the American League, if not the best team in baseball. Same thing here with the Cubs. Just, you know, the pitching has been lights out. There was so much concern over the starting rotation, particularly the bullpen. But they've done very well, particularly the rotation. You know, has been very, very dependable. And if the National League Central is not careful, they're going to watch the Cubs, you know, run away and hide.
Is there anything that you've seen that still needs to be improved upon? I mean, Kyle Schwarber has been struggling, hitting below league average according to OPS Plus. Albert Almora, another. And as you mentioned, the Cubs right now lack an effective closer due to injury and ineffectiveness by other pitchers. What still needs to change for the Cubs moving forward?
Well, I think at some point they're going to have to get a closer or a late-inning reliever from the outside. And Bill Epstein has talked about that. I don't think there's any way you go into the playoffs with the bullpen that was constructed. You know, the more arms, the better. So I see them, you know, I'm not sure they can trade, but they're going to have to make a trade for a bullpen piece, particularly a guy from the 8th and 9th inning.
Who could you see that being? Is there anyone out there on the open market right now or someone who's already been talked about in trade rumors?
Well, some of the San Francisco Giants have some great relievers down there. And Will Smith, he's 10 for 10 save opportunities. Tony Watson, you know, the great lefty that used to be with the Pittsburgh Pirates. I think Mark Melancon would be a little too expensive for him. But I could see a Smith or Watson. Both guys are free agents in the new year. And I don't think the asking price would be enormous, and their salaries are in the right price range as well.
And Bob, another player who's been struggling, albeit to a lack of playing time, is Addison Russell, who's fresh off of his 40-game domestic abuse suspension. Now, there were lots of people who called on the Cubs to release Russell or, if anything, keep him at Triple-A Iowa, but obviously that isn't the case today. Why have the Cubs decided to keep Russell around, and do you personally agree with that move?
Yeah, I mean, they during the release, Russell, they would have released him, you know, during the winter. I think they still see a talented, valuable guy here. I mean, he's still an all-star shortstop just a couple of years ago. You know, he's a Grand Slam, the World Series, and everything else. And they believe in giving people second chances. You know, they brought in Aroldis Chapman from the outside. You know, he's a guy who shot a gun 8 or 9 times to scare his grew up in Florida, and he was, you know, he was just a rental player, just a guy they've known and developed, you know, a key piece that Justin Marger trade, obviously. So they like the young man. Obviously, they know he made a mistake or mistakes in the past, but they believe that, you know, they believe in redemption, that he'll still be a very viable contributor, you know, to that team.
What are your thoughts on the allegation that the Cubs are threatening writers who want to publish negative stories on Russell? Because from a distance, it seems hard to believe, but nevertheless, the claim is out there. What do you say to that accusation, you know, you being a baseball writer, being around the Cubs and other major league teams?
Yeah, I find it hard to believe. You know, I'm not saying, you know, something could have happened. Who knows for sure? You know, certainly it couldn't happen to when the traveling beat guys or national guys. You have Baseball Writers Association passes, which allow you to get in clubhouse anytime you want. So nobody can ban you from the clubhouse or take away your access or anything like that. So, you know, I think, too, if the Cubs, you know, if someone from the Cubs did that, it would look tremendously bad, just in the sense of, you know, of the allegations and everything else, is that it would look so bad on the Cubs' part. You're not talking about a guy you're struggling in the field, but a guy who had his struggles off the field. So I can't see that happening. I really can't.
Bob Nightingale here on Sports Talk Chicago. And Bob, moving to the South Side for a moment, the White Sox are still undergoing a rebuild, but they're playing near 500 baseball to begin 2019. Lots of guys have stepped up. James McCann comes to mind, Tim Anderson as well. What's your gauge on the Sox 2019 season thus far?
Well, it's been a mess. I mean, you know, all these injuries, you know, Rondon now going out for the season. You know, guys haven't performed what they hoped. Yeah, it's a rough year. Obviously, they're not going to go anywhere again. So what they really need is just a, you know, Mercado to, you know, keep playing like he has to show that he can be a valuable major league player. You know, hope that, you know, Jimenez can become that guy too after giving him the $43 million contract. And Dylan Cease, who, you know, you talk to scouts, and they say last year he was the best minor league pitcher, you know, that they saw all year. So, you know, they got some pieces. I think people are getting frustrated and understandably so. You know, there's a division now where it was Cleveland Indians to lose all along, and now here comes the Twins. So I think it'll be an interesting off season for the White Sox. I think they're going to have to be aggressive out there to make some moves. You know, the Sox fans will continue to stay away until they start winning.
You know, going back to Tim Anderson for a moment and his season that he's had, do you like what he's done to the game here in 2019? I mean, there are many schools of thought on all of this. You know, lots of old schoolers don't like all the bat flips and, quote-unquote, having fun with the game. What are your thoughts on what you've seen from Anderson so far, and do you think it's good for the game here in 2019?
Yeah, I mean, he's having a breakout season. You know, finally, it's a player they envision all along, you know, when they give him the long-term contract a couple years ago. So, you know, I think him getting hit with a pitch was actually the best thing for him. Best thing for baseball. Kind of brought light to what he's doing, what he believes, and everything else. He's not trying to show anybody up. So you're seeing more and more guys. You know, Bryce Harper has done it for years. You know, admired his home run and got hit by a pitch. So it's okay, kind of a gray area. You know, that flip and stuff like that, you just don't want to show up the opposition. There's also a time and place to do it. You know, hey, when Batista did that a few years ago with the Blue Jays, they beat, you know, Texas in a playoff game. Hey, perfect time to, you know, flip your bat a million miles up in the air. You know, you don't want to do it in the second inning or fourth inning, something like that. But no, I think Tim's good for baseball and certainly good for the White Sox and in the South Side of town.
Moving to some national MLB headlines, ironically enough, one of the biggest stories around the game right now involves two players who aren't on the field in Craig Kimbrell and Dallas Keuchel. What's the latest on both of them and their prospects of signing here in 2019?
Well, I think, you know, they'll definitely sign at some point. You know, now you're close to draft and they're thinking, okay, I think they'll enhance their value. If they wait after the draft and they're not a draft pick compensation, might help a little bit, maybe more in Kimbrell's case, because the Washington Nationals really hate to give up a draft pick. But I don't think it's going to make a big difference. I don't think you're going to have all these teams calling all of a sudden because the draft pick conversation is gone. I really don't. So I think it's a situation where at some point, yeah, you're not going to get the money you want. Adam Jones didn't want, the money he got, on and on. So at some point you got to sign. And these guys, if you want to play baseball, you got to sign and just, try to get your money back, next winter. Because the more time these guys are out, the less their value. Plus they miss all the spring training. So you're talking about, if they sign in the next, 48, 72 hours, you're still not going to be ready until, mid to late June.
Do you feel that their over-evaluation of themselves has caused their problem? And also, who is interested at this point in Keuchel and or Kimbrel, despite the high asking price?
Well, I think they did overplay their hands. I mean, just, supply and demand. I think what hurt Kimbrel is that it came out originally and said he's looking for a six-year deal for over $100 million, be the highest paid reliever in baseball history. So I think it scared teams away. And by the time, he lowered the asking price, everybody had already, gotten their closers. He's a guy, too, that struggled in the postseason. I mean, the Red Sox won the World Series, but they were using their starters as relievers and closers during the playoffs. So I still think the Washington Nationals, if they're still in the race, would make sense. Same with the Atlanta Braves. Those two teams, jump out in particular. I don't see the Cubs paying that kind of money. And a guy like Keuchel, same thing. He'd be good for the, the Braves, the Astros, Philadelphia Phillies. On both those guys, I could see the Phillies. Their payroll is down around $140 million. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Phillies be players on both those guys.
Sticking now with some current MLB news, CeCe Sabathia recently made some significant history, becoming the 17th pitcher ever to record 3,000 strikeouts on the mound. He was the first to do it since John Smoltz did back in 2008. Bob, were you at the game, first of all? And secondly, if you were, what was it like for you to see 3,000 in person?
Yeah, very cool moment. Yeah, I was at the game, and, it's not a milestone people are talking about a lot. And, he had all his family and friends there, and it must have 40, 45 people, they came out of town to see it happen. So it was cool. Saw that, 1 week, and the next week I saw the no-hitter by Mike Fiers. So, cool. We'll see in history on both counts. But, for Sabathia, just such a good role model, been so consistent over the years. And, a Hall of Famer. I wasn't really thinking about him a Hall of Famer until, recently. You look at his overall numbers, and, of course, at 3,000 strikeouts, only the third lefty to do so, it jumps out at you. So it was a huge milestone in his life, and it's cool to see everybody so excited about it.
Moving now to your career in sports journalism, I had mentioned that you started covering baseball in 1986, writing for many different publications before coming to USA Today in 1998, where you still are today. Tell me about your journey to where you are now and how you've become such a respected journalist for over 30 years.
Yeah, I was went to school at Arizona State University, and then got a job in Kansas City covering basketball. And then they switched me over and said, okay, you want to cover baseball? I said, yeah, I'll give that a try. Started coming to Kansas City Royals, then became a beat writer, for a decade, covering the Royals, then went to the LA Times, and covered the San Diego Padres, then the Angels, then the Dodgers, before going to USA Today. So just I think it's nice to, be a beat writer, for a while, just to go through that daily grind and the regiment and everything else, getting to know players. It was a different time back then, too. It's like, guys were going to team bus, you could fly in the team plane, hung out with players at night. These days that's changed where you barely even see a player out at night, with the social media and everything else. So I'm glad I covered it when I did.
Why has it changed now versus when you covered it back then? Why do you think the reasoning is behind that?
I think a lot of it, the social media, just maybe a distrust among, with me, even distrust among each other. Camera phones. And so it's like when players used to go out, they went out, nobody put attention or thing, everything was off the record and there weren't TMZ cameras around. Now everybody has a cell phone camera. If a guy's out around, midnight or something and having a beer, all of a sudden it's all over the internet. And also players used to sit around and have, beer in the clubhouse after games. Now, ever since John Hancock, got killed, years ago at the St. Louis Cardinals, maybe 10 years now, you know, they pretty much banned beer in the clubhouse. You see it occasionally. So guys don't sit around and talk baseball, you know, for 3 hours a night. When that clubhouse, when the game ends, you know, players are out there playing within 20 minutes.
And before we let you go today, Bob, being around the game for 30-plus years, interacting with players, being inside clubhouses, what's the funniest moment that you've been a part of as a sports writer?
Oh, there's been, you know, so many. you know, one is a guy, the team bus, it was in Montreal, San Diego Padres. And, you know, it was a gruff traveling secretary. Anyways, the bus driver made a couple wrong turns going to the stadium. And Gary Templeton, the former All-Star shortstop, yells at the bus, "Hey, do you know what you're doing? You know what? Where are you going here?" And the traveling secretary, an older man named Doc Mattai, you know, just screamed out in the front of the bus, "You know, Tempe, you worry about your .225 batting average. I'll worry about the busing." So the whole bus just cracked up for some guy who actually gave a guy like Gary Templeton some grief about that. But yeah, so many things in clubhouses and, you know, funny jokes. So a lot of good camaraderie over the years.
Well, Bob, thank you so much for being here on the show today. Such a pleasure, and hope to have you on again soon. Thank you.
Sure, my pleasure. Thank you.
What an honor it was to welcome Bob Nightingale on the show today as we talk with him about some Chicago Cubs and White Sox news, some national MLB headlines, plus his amazing sports journalism career. And the thing that I truly enjoy about having Bob on this show is the fact that he eats, sleeps, and breathes baseball. I mean, this is a guy who's been around the game for 30-plus years. He's covered it immensely with many different publications, and today is an MLB Network insider and senior columnist for USA Today. He knows exactly what's going on, which is why it's so great to have that inside knowledge and a trustworthy source on the show. I'm so glad that you decided to join us along for the ride today. Before we finish up now, just a few quick announcements. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at ChiTalkSports and hit me up personally on Instagram at JohnZags, Twitter at JohnZSports, and LinkedIn at JohnZagluel. Also, if you'd like to become a subscriber to the website, simply type in your email on the subscription box of the site, click yes on the confirmation email, and from there, you'll be subscribed. You'll receive every new podcast and article directly to your email. And remember, Sports Talk Chicago is now on iTunes and Google Play. Simply search Sports Talk Chicago and every podcast from the 2018-19 calendar year is now available. Feel free to leave us a 5-star rating and/or write a review. Your support is greatly appreciated. And finally, if you enjoyed today's podcast, make sure to check out my new radio show every Tuesday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. on 88.5 WHPK-FM Chicago. You'll still hear my same hard-hitting Chicago sports opinions, plus we'll cover national sports news, have special segments, and of course, welcome very special guests to each and every show. Again, that's every Tuesday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. on 88.5 WHPK-FM Chicago. Thank you again for listening in to today's show, and have a great day.